Please open in your Bibles to Jonah. We're looking at Jonah chapter 2 this morning. For you college students who are just coming back, we have, during the summertime, been going through the book of Jonah. So we've covered chapter 1 before you have arrived, and now we're starting into chapter 2. I'll actually be starting at chapter 1, verse 17, and reading to the end of chapter 2. So hear now the reading of God's holy and inspired word. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, saying, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. And then I said, I am driven away from your sight, yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped about my head at the roots of the mountains. I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would bless the reading and the preaching of your word today, and that you would use it as a means of reminding us of the great deliverance that you have given us in your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to see how it is you have worked in our lives, and use that as a means by having us call to mind your deliverance, and that we would pray and praise you for your glory and for your power. Help us to remember your goodness to us in Jesus Christ. We pray that you would use this jar of clay for your glory's sake. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Well, have you praised the Lord lately for delivering you or protecting you from one situation or another? Maybe you've reflected anew on how the Lord had brought you from darkness into His marvelous light. And just thinking about that caused you again to give Him thanks and praise. It renewed in your heart a love for Him and a thanks for Him. Or maybe you are remembering or thanking God for how He has delivered you from a particular sin that has been haunting you for many years of your life. And He has finally, by the power of the Spirit, granted you a strong measure of victory over that particular ensnaring sin. And you're giving Him thanks and praise for it. Or maybe He has delivered you recently from some physical harm or physical injury. He's protected you from it. I have a friend who is a chef, and he was preparing food in his restaurant, and he was chopping up some vegetables, working as fast as he could. And as he was chopping up these vegetables, somebody called his name, and he looked up, and he kept chopping. And the knife came down, and he felt it. But thankfully, before it sliced his finger, he actually just shaved off just the very tip of his fingernail. And his immediate response was, oh, thank you, Lord. Not one of those vain expressions, oh, thank you, God. But, thank you, Lord. You stopped the knife right in time. And every time he thinks about that, it renews his heart of thanksgiving to God for preserving him, for protecting him, even in that small way. And that's the way it is whenever you remember the Lord's deliverance of one sort or another in your life. It renews your thanks to Him and cultivates and motivates you to praise Him for His work in your life. And that's just what we see in our text today. Last time we saw Jonah, he had been thrown into the sea from the ship so that the storm would be calm, the sea would be calm for the sailors. But now we see the Lord rescuing Jonah. The Lord coming to Jonah, and we see Jonah responding in prayer to the deliverance that God has given him. In his prayer, he recounts how the Lord has brought him deliverance. He remembers the Lord's deliverance in his life, and he responds with praise and thanksgiving. And friends, that's the basic point I have for you this morning. Remember the Lord's deliverance in your life. Think about how the Lord has rescued you, and give Him thanks for it. Give Him thanks and praise. Remember the Lord's deliverance in your life, and as a result, give Him thanks and praise. Well, the first thing we see in our text today is how the Lord rescued Jonah from death and destruction. And we see that in verse 17 of chapter 1. The Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. So Jonah was cast overboard into the sea, and now he's drowning in the midst of the sea. The storm had ceased. It became calm. The sailors were safe. They were no longer going to die. But now Jonah's sinking in the water. I don't know whether he could swim or not. It doesn't matter. He's in the middle of the sea, and he is going down. His sin and rebellion against God had brought him to this point, and it was time to pay the consequences. But the Lord showed Jonah mercy. And in an amazing display of God's providence, in God's sovereignty over His creation, the Lord prepared this giant fish to respond and save and rescue Jonah. The Lord prepared this fish to respond and save Jonah from his dire situation. The text says that the Lord appointed, some translations say prepared, this fish. In Hebrew, this word can simply mean supplied. And that's what God did. He supplied this fish to swallow up Jonah and to rescue him from drowning in the midst of the sea. Kind of like when a lifeguard dives into the water and scoops up a man from the bottom of the pool. God sent this fish. He supplied this fish to save and rescue Jonah. And we see here God exercising His sovereign providence, His control over all of creation to bring about His will in His world for His people. And that's what God is all about. God controls this world by His works of providence. And all things are subject to His will. Here we see God exercising His sovereignty over His creation to bring about the salvation of this man. This verse is stated in such a way to make it absolutely clear that though the Lord uses means to accomplish His will, it is God alone who brings about salvation. It is God alone who rescues Jonah. And friends, this is just how it is in your life, isn't it? The Lord has rescued us, rescued you, He's rescued me from death and destruction by His sovereign power. At some point in your life, you were facing the reality of everlasting destruction in hell forever. You were liable to the wrath of God, to death and destruction, to the judgment of God. And whether you were an unbeliever who were liable to the pains of hell forever, or you were a believer who had been running from God and was experiencing God's fatherly displeasure and chastisement in your life, the Lord has made use of many means to bring you where you are today, to bring you here, to seat you here today, to rescue you from drowning in your sin and in your misery. And brothers and sisters, He is the one who is worthy of praise for doing it. He is the one who has accomplished this in your life. You are here today because God Almighty has acted and has worked in your life and has brought you to this point, to this place, to worship Him. What an amazing God we have. And if you're here this morning and you don't know this God, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior or as your Deliverer or as your Redeemer, I want you to think about how God has been at work in your life. Think about it. You're here today. God has made it so that you've been brought up in a covenant home. You've been brought to church. You are here this very day because of one circumstance or another. It is God who is at work through His means to bring you here today, that you would hear the preaching of His Word, that He would bring you to Himself. And may it be so, because today is the day of salvation, as the Word of God declares. He has brought you here today to hear the truth that He has sent His Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to rescue sinners for Himself, to merit and earn salvation for sinners, which He accomplished through His life, death, and resurrection from the dead. And if you would submit to Him, if you would turn to Him, you would find His deliverance and His rescue, and you would praise and honor the Lord Jesus Christ for that rescue, for that deliverance. And that's just what we see Jonah doing here. In verse 1 of chapter 2, he records, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish. He prays a psalm of thanksgiving to God, and he begins with a simple praise of the Lord's deliverance. He provides a simple summary of Yahweh's salvation. Look at what he says in verse 2. I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and He answered me. Out of the voice, or out of the belly of Sheol, I cried, and You heard my voice. And so after that great fish swallowed up Jonah as he was in the water, he realized at that point, I think he realized that he had been rescued from the Lord. As he was drowning in the water, sinking into the heart of the sea, that fish came along and swallowed him up. And I think it was then he realized that God had done something to redeem him. God had done something to rescue him. And he immediately responds with an overview of what had happened to him, what's gone on in his life. And I think this verse summarizes the rest of what he says in verses 3 through 7. It's a summary statement of all that God has done to him. Jonah here expresses the immediate joy of rescue with a short, simple statement of the facts. I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and He answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol, from the depths of the grave, I cried, and You heard my voice. What says here summarizes everything that happened to him. You think of it this way. Think about you being away on some trip, and a friend of yours or a child of yours or a brother or sister of yours is playing in some kind of championship game of one sort or another. And you so wish that you could have been there, but situation was such that you couldn't watch the game. You couldn't attend the game. But you were wondering, how has this game gone? You're waiting anxiously to hear news of the victory or the loss of this game. And about the time the game was supposed to be over, your phone buzzes in your pocket. And you pull it out, anxiously waiting to see the news, and you see two words: "We won." And your heart is filled with joy. We won. That summarizes the entire game, doesn't it? We won. But undoubtedly, whenever your friend or your child or your brother or sister is reunited with you, they'll go on to tell you about all the details of the game. But for now, those two words suffice. We won summarizes the whole experience. And likewise, these two sentences provide that initial summary of Jonah's rescue, of Jonah's situation, of all that's gone on in Jonah's experience after being cast into the sea. I was about to die, but I cried out to the Lord, and He answered me. What a great summary that is, isn't it? I was about to die, but I cried out to the Lord, and He answered me. A simple confession like this can go a long way in our lives in reminding us of what the Lord has done for us. The simple phrases that maybe you've heard in the past about, that people have used to summarize their whole conversion experience. Sum it all up. You've heard it. Maybe they apply to your life as well. I was lost, but now I'm found. I was dead, but now I'm alive. Or I was blind, but now I see. Those simple statements sum up your whole experience. And simple statements like those in our lives that can remind us on a day-to-day basis of how God has worked in our lives. It can be a means of preaching the gospel to ourselves every single day, reminding us that God has rescued us from death, that God has done good to us. It reorients our thinking, reminds us who we are and who God is, and gives us pause to praise Him for His deliverance. So I'd encourage you to think of a short statement like that, a short statement of facts that summarizes your experience of salvation. It could be one of those that I said to you already. I was lost, but now I'm found. I was dead, but now I'm alive. I was blind, but now I see. Or come up with one for yourself, one that would encapsulate your salvation experience. And write it down. Put it on your mirror in the morning as you're getting ready for your day. Or put it in your car, or put it on your desk so you see it throughout the day. Or on your nightstand as you lay your head down to go to sleep. What a good reminder that is, that you are the Lord's and the Lord has done good to you. No matter what has happened in that day, you belong to Him and He has delivered you. And yet, to meditate more deeply on what God has done in your life can all the more provide you with reason to praise Him. And that's just what we see Jonah going on to do. After he initially summarizes his affliction, his cry, and his deliverance, he goes on into more detail and he remembers how dreadful his condition really was. Look at verse 3. "For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me." So Jonah recounts really the awful situation that he found himself in before he was rescued. And I think he does so in order to heighten the awareness of how great a deliverance he has experienced. Now, you've heard it said that the good news isn't the good news until you've heard the bad news, right? That's kind of what Jonah is doing here. He's reflecting on how bad, how awful, how terrible his condition was, and then all the more highlights how great and how amazing God's salvation and deliverance really is. And you remember, don't you, the dreadful condition you were in before you were saved? How often do you think about that? How often do you think about where you would be today if God had not intervened in your life? God had not reached out with His grace and changed your heart, changed your soul, brought you to Himself. We're not just talking about the fact that you and I were headed for hell, but how we once walked according to the course of this world. That we were enslaved to the evil one. That we lived according to the lusts and the passions of our heart and of our mind. How we were children of wrath. That's who we were. That's the situation that we found ourselves in. And remembering the depths from which the Lord has saved you will not only help you to not take His grace for granted, but it will cause you to bless His name more and more. But Jonah doesn't stop with remembering how dreadful his condition really was, but he also remembers the point when he cried out to God. Look at verses 4 and 7. "Then I said, 'I am driven away from your sight, yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. When my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple.'" So Jonah calls to mind the point whenever he was at the end of his rope. He had rebelled against God. He was experiencing the consequences of his actions. Everything in Jonah's life was crashing in around him. He was going to die. There was no question in his mind about it. And when chaos reigned in his heart and in his mind and in his life, one truth kept reverberating in Jonah's mind. And it was the truth that God is a God of mercy. And it's, in fact, that truth that led Jonah to this point in the first place, isn't it? The fact that he knew that God was a God of mercy is what caused Jonah to run and flee in the first place. Because he didn't want God to be a God of mercy, at least not for the Ninevites. And so he ran from the Lord. But now he finds himself at the mercy of that very same God. Jonah's soul had completely fainted within him. But he had remembered the truth that God is mercy. And so with his last breath, I think, he turned his heart and his mind to the Lord's holy temple. As he said, "I am driven away from your sight, yet I shall look again upon your holy temple. Even though sin has driven me far from you and I now face judgment, I will look again to your temple." Why the temple? Well, the physical temple was the place where God had set his name, and he placed the symbols of mercy and forgiveness for his people, for sinners. That's where the mercy seat was found. That's where mercy was found. And so he set his heart, he set his mind, and he cried out to the temple where mercy is found. And his heart, his prayer went up to the Lord as he says, "My prayer came up to you into your holy temple." It went up into heaven where God ultimately dwells, from where his mercy ultimately flows. And the Lord extended that mercy. Do you remember the time when you first called out to the Lord to be merciful to you? Do you remember that? That moment where you cried out for mercy, when you were brought to the end of yourself, and you knew that all was lost apart from Jesus Christ, that there was no hope to be found in this life or in the life to come apart from the mercy shown to you in Jesus Christ. Or maybe you remember the time when you finally stopped running from God, and you cried out to the God that you had confessed before, and you recommitted and submitted yourself to him. Or maybe you found yourself on your knees, maybe just this past week, seeking the Lord's mercy because you've sinned again. And yet he opens forth that storehouse of continual mercy to be poured out into your life. Brothers and sisters, our God is a God of mercy. And calling these moments to mind reminds us then, and it reminds us now, that he still is a God of mercy. And doing such can lead us and will lead us to honor and praise and glorify and magnify him. Because he is a God of mercy. He is the only one who brings salvation. And that's what Jonah calls to mind next. He remembers how the Lord has brought him deliverance. Look at the center of our passage, verses 5 and 6. "The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped about my head at the roots of the mountains. I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. And yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord, my God." He sees how desperate his situation was. When Jonah was drowning in the sea, he realized his life was completely lost. He went down where the bars of the land closed him in forever. He was as good as dead. And even though there was life still in him, he knew that there was no hope of deliverance apart from the Lord. Had it not been for the Lord's rescue, he would have surely perished. And so he says, "You brought up my life from the pit, O Lord, my God." In essence, he's saying, "You, my God, have brought me back from the dead." Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, you know what this is like. You who were once dead in your trespasses and in your sins have been made alive together with Jesus Christ. He has brought your life up from the pit, your Lord and your God. Sin wrapped around your mind like the weeds wrapped around Jonah's head. Sin and Satan and the curse, like the bars of the earth, held you enclosed and would have held you in doom forever. And yet Jesus Christ has set you free. He has brought your life up from the pit. He has freed you from the curse of death, from the enslavement of sin, to live for, to praise, and to worship your Savior both now and for all eternity. Your Savior has done this. And to worship and give thanks to God is the response of one who's been delivered. Again, that's why we're here today. To praise Him for what He's done. To give Him glory for redeeming you. What a great Savior we have. And that's just what Jonah does. He offers Yahweh thanks and praise. Verses 8 and 9. He says in verse 8, "Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love." Meaning those who worship idols deny themselves any hope of mercy. Because there's only mercy found in the one true and living God. Only He saves. And so to turn from Him is to turn from any mercy, any hope, any deliverance. Verse 9, "But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord." Jonah's response to the Lord for the deliverance that God had given him was to praise Him and to commit his life again to service to his King and to his Lord. What else was there to give to this God who delivered him but a voice of praise and a life lived with thanksgiving unto his Savior, unto his Deliverer, the one who redeemed his life from death? God saved his life. He saved his soul from death. He redeemed it. It belongs to the Lord. And so now he will live that life for the Lord. And this is just what Paul tells us to do, right? Romans 12, "Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God." This is your spiritual act of worship. Writer of the Hebrews says, "Therefore, by Him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name." See, remembering the Lord's deliverance in your life will help you to do these things more and more because it reorients your mind and your heart. Causes you to remember that you are the Lord's. He has rescued you, and your life belongs to Him. So you praise Him, and you live a life in service to Him. Verse 10, we're told that the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. I really hope they don't make a modern-day version of this movie, or a movie of this, because I would hate to see the fact that the fish vomited Jonah out onto dry land. But the Scriptures are full of vivid imagery, aren't they? But again, we see how the Lord is sovereign over His creation. He spoke to the fish, and the fish vomited him out onto dry land. The fish took him to dry land where the sailors had so desperately tried to get Jonah but couldn't. God has the fish take him there. And He does this to tell Jonah, to tell us that it is God who delivers. It is God who is sovereign. It is God who rescues. We can't do it ourselves. We can't row ourselves to shore. God is the one who has to deliver us. Even when we are dead, He brings deliverance. So the fish spits him out on dry land, and he sees that God is a God who shows mercy to sinners. And He does that to show Jonah that He wants to show mercy to the Ninevites. Just as God gave deliverance to Jonah, and that caused Jonah to praise the Lord, He wants Jonah to see that He wants to give mercy and deliver the Ninevites so they will give praise to the Lord, because the Lord is a God of mercy. And this is one of the other lessons that can be learned from remembering your own deliverance. For when you think deeply about how you have been saved, you begin to truly see the heart of God, don't you? That God is about the business of saving and rescuing sinners like you and me. And the more you reflect upon that, the more your heart will be inflamed for those around you who have not been yet rescued by the Lord. And you'll be more inclined to pray for and to speak to those who are lost in their sin. They might taste and see that the Lord is good, that you would have that same passion. So let's remember the Lord's deliverance in our lives. Remember how the Lord has rescued us from death and destruction, and every day praise Him in a short, simple way for that deliverance. But don't forget the details. Don't forget the deep and profound way in which God has transformed your life. How He has truly brought you from death and enslavement to sin to life and freedom and newness in Him and in His Son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus talks about the one who has been forgiven much loves much. And so when you reflect on how much you have been forgiven, just think of how much your heart will be inflamed for your Savior. May it be so. May you think upon what your God has done for you in Jesus Christ, and may you give Him thanks and praise for that deliverance. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for the way in which You have worked in our lives, and we pray that You, by Your Spirit, would cause us to remember Your deliverance in our lives. But Heavenly Father, we cannot do that apart from our Deliverer. And so, Lord, we pray that You would always set our minds on Jesus Christ. As we look at this passage, as we think about the prayer confessed here by Jonah, we actually see the prayer of Jesus. The one who experienced the sign of Jonah. The one who was in the grave for 3 days and then rose again victorious. Lord, this was Christ's prayer. He was sent into the depths of the grave. And yet You brought Him back to life. Sheol enclosed around Him. And yet You caused Him to live again for the salvation of His people, for us. And we give You thanks and praise for Him, our Deliverer. Help us to always remember Him, our eyes fixed upon our Savior, and grant us great faith and hope in Him. We pray all these things in His name. Amen.